It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Oh boy, what a terrific weekend of football for Penn State fans, Steelers fans. Now, Tuna Mountain Lions won a game. That's great. We got a lot to discuss today and throughout the week. This is Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Our phone lines are open. I'd love to hear from as many of you as we can today, 946-0435. Penn State with a thrilling come-from-behind win at USC. Where does this rank among wins for Penn State and James Franklin during his tenure? How significant was it? What's the impact of this overall, and how this could impact Penn State's college football playoff chances, possibly even hopes for a run at a national title? We will get into all of that. Steelers went on the road, pounded a bad Raiders team, 32-13. It was a good win for the Steelers, good showing. Defense played well, offense wasn't great, didn't really need to be. We'll get into that as well. 946-0435. I want you to be honest. First half for Penn State was pretty crappy, pretty lousy. And as you're sitting there watching the Penn State game in the first half, be honest. How many of you are thinking, they're screwing this up again? I don't trust James Franklin in these games. How many of you is that going through your mind? 20-6 at the half. Offense looked sensational in the first series. Andy Kotelniki was drawing up all kinds of crazy plays, but they were held to a field goal, and then boom, USC goes right down the field on a reverse and scores just like that. And rough first half, 20-6. How many of you are thinking at the half, this is Penn State football? This is what we've come to expect. They don't show up in the games that matter most. And then in the second half, boom, flip the switch, which we have seen many times, especially since 2016. Penn State often looks like a very different team in the second half. Head down to Myrtle Beach. Roger, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Exhausted. Watching the Penn State and Steeler games this weekend were very exhausting.
Where'd you watch the Penn State game from? Do you have a good gathering of folks down there?
I was just going to tell you that we had our largest crowd. We had 295 people for the showing on Saturday.
Where were you at? Were you at a convention hall, restaurant? What kind of hotel? What?
It's called the Boathouse. It's on the Intercoastal Waterway in Myrtle Beach. We packed it. They were outside also watching it on TVs outside. So the previous record was 265, Ohio State game last year. They just keep growing and growing and growing.
Now, I'm not going to just let you off the hook and we talk about how great the win was. I want to know what your 295 people, how much they were griping in the first half.
Well, it's
be honest now. Come on now. I ain't even looking for no hemming and hawing. There's a lot of bitching and moaning. James Franklin sucks. James Franklin. I want you to be honest with me. How many of those 295 people were ready to get rid of James Franklin at halftime?
Well, nobody ever really bitches because there's just so much noise and oohing and awing. But I'll tell you, halftime is pretty quiet.
Yeah.
But I have a question for you.
Okay.
How is Tyler Warren's catch, snapping the football, as a so-called lineman, a legal catch?
Okay, so
because he, I would essentially would have thought he's a lineman, so he would be illegal to be downfield to catch the touchdown in the end zone. Correct.
He was not covered on the end of the line. He was correct. The tight end on that play.
Correct. Okay.
He just so happened to be the tight end who snapped the ball. The center. Now the. So I don't. I did Google. I found a touchdown in Canada where the center caught a touchdown pass. There's a video on there. I didn't spend a lot of time on this because I truly wonder if in the history of college football a center has caught a touchdown pass. Now, clearly, any lineman can report as eligible. And so maybe at some point in the history of college football, a center reported as eligible and there's crazy play and they threw a touchdown pass to him. So it can happen. In that particular case, theoretically, in terms of football rules, even though he snapped the ball, he is the tight end because he was left uncovered on his left side. The four people who were out to his left were all back behind the line of scrimmage, so they count as wide receivers.
I wonder how they composed that play. Who did they run that pass to make sure that one pass the smell test? Because obviously our picks are not going well.
Yeah.
Tyler
Warren said after the game that they practice it all the time. And so you got to figure if you're going to come up with some ridiculous formation like that, that they would have checked with officials, you know, because when they have scrimmages and practice, things like that, there are always officials around the football team. I mean, you know, not playing real games, but they have officials around. So I'm guessing if they did something like that, Andy Katilny and James Frank, they got the green light that it was going to be okay.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible play. Again, pretty incredible second half. I don't know how long we can continue to do that.
It's a problem. The slow starts are a problem. That's the kind of game where you think the slow starts it's just going to bite you. And you know what? Hey, look, let me say this, okay? This was a terrific win for Penn State. Terrific. I'll break it all down on the show today of what this does for their playoff hopes and all those kinds of things. But let me just point out, Miller Moss, with 20 seconds to go, had a receiver open at around the 20-22 yard line, and if he completes that pass, Penn State loses.
Yeah.
He airmailed it. Penn State gets the interception. Penn State wins. That's the difference between us right now talking about what a terrific win this was. James Franklin, you know, great win for him. All this stuff. It's Miller Moss. If he throws that pass 2 feet lower, it's caught. They kick a field goal as time expires. Game over. So in sports, that's how small the margin for error is. We would all be ripping James Franklin to shreds all weekend for the slow start, can't come back if that one play by USC is made. But it's not made. Penn State wins the game. Now Penn State fans everywhere are thinking about a run at a national championship.
Well, I'm gonna say also, I mean, Ryan Barker, wow.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, great for that kid.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, one thing I'll let you go. They just moved the Wisconsin game to
night.
7.
Yeah.
Yep.
Prime time. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. Roger from Myrtle Beach. I love when we get calls from people outside the air. We got a guy in L.A. that'll call every now and then. Got some Pittsburgh folks. Jason on the road. It always says Jason on the road. I don't know where the hell Jason's at. Maybe Jason's in New York City or Florida. I don't know. It's always on the road. What's going on, man?
I'm always on the road because I can't get your station where I live.
Okay, very good.
So I think this game, you asked kind of where it ranks. Right now, I'd say it ranks just behind the Minnesota game from, what was that, 2017 when they won the Big Ten Championship.
Mm-hmm, right.
Similar game, you know, where they were losing at halftime. James Franklin gets booed off the field. They come back and win in overtime. And what will change that, whether it moves ahead or behind, is really how they finish the season.
Yeah. And look, you know, the rest of
this is a big win.
The rest of the schedule is great. They've got at Wisconsin. Now, look, it's tough to go to Camp Randall. They got a bye this week. But Wisconsin's not real good. Then they've got Ohio State. Even if they lose to Ohio State, then they've got Washington at home, at Purdue, at Minnesota, home against Maryland. I still think the Minnesota game is going to be a very challenging game. But 11-1 is right there. You know, 11-1 is absolutely on the table. 11-1 and a number 5 seed, maybe, you know, which would get you a pretty good first-round home game. I mean, hell, 11-1 could even get you a 4 seed and a bye. So, you know, it's there are a lot of things going in their favor right now.
Yeah, I don't think the Ohio State loss helps Penn State.
No, that's
one
true.
Thing that the Big Ten is, interestingly, I mean, I don't think this will happen either, but it's possible still, is the Big Ten could have 3 undefeated teams at the end of the season.
Yeah,
Indiana,
I just...
Indiana or Penn State. I mean, I don't think
Let me look at Indiana's schedule, because do they not play Ohio State either? Did they get lucky enough to not play Penn State or Ohio State?
Or Oregon.
So they play Michigan? Indiana plays Michigan to close. No, I'm sorry. Wait, that's wrong. Let me see where Indiana is. Indiana has Nebraska, Washington at Michigan State. They play Michigan at home. Oh yeah, they go to Ohio State. Indiana goes to Ohio State. Yeah. So
right, but they could win. They could win that game. I
mean, let me throw this out. Let me throw it because these are fun scenarios. Okay, so in theory, the Ohio State loss hurts Penn State. Here's how I think it helps, okay? Here's how I think it could help. If Ohio State beat, again, who knows how tiebreakers are going to go. If Ohio State had beaten Oregon, and then Ohio State had beaten Penn State, you very well could have been looking at Penn State, Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game and a rematch.
Right.
And that's probably another loss to Ohio State. So, Penn State Ohio State losing to Oregon. Now, if Penn State loses to Ohio State, I'm guessing Ohio State and Oregon would then be in the Big Ten championship game, and it could spare Penn State a second loss. Are we on the same page here?
It could, but also Ohio State beating Indiana could put possibly Indiana, because they all three of us have one loss, and however that tiebreaker worked.
The tiebreakers, I don't, as we sit here on October 14th, I don't know how all those crazy tiebreakers work. My gut tells me that if Ohio State beats Penn State, and Ohio State has one loss, Penn State has one loss, Oregon has one loss, my gut kind of tells me that Ohio State and Oregon will probably be in the Big Ten championship game. Because Ohio State would have then beaten Indiana. Ohio State would have beaten Michigan. I'm not going through all the damn tiebreakers, but that tells me that probably it'd be Ohio State, Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. So all I'm saying is, in terms of a seeding standpoint, in terms of college football playoff seeding standpoint, if you're Penn State and you only lose to Ohio State, but then you have to play Ohio State again in the Big Ten championship game, you would have 2 losses. Now, it would suck that they would both be to the same team and one would be in a conference championship game, perhaps, but I think that would hurt Penn State's seeding. So 11-1, not playing in the Big Ten championship game, could give Penn State a higher seed than going 11-2 and losing to Ohio State twice.
Yeah, the other thing is, would the Big Ten championship game become Oregon and Ohio State part 2?
You would think so. I would think that would probably, again, there are crazy tiebreakers. You know,
that was a great game, so a lot of people would like to see it.
Absolutely. All I'm saying is, and look, I don't think Ohio State is invincible. I mean, Oregon moved the ball on them a ton. Now, they've got a veteran quarterback, but Oregon moved the ball on them a ton, and Penn State might be able to move the ball in Ohio State this year. We'll see. Bottom line is, at this point, you want as few losses as possible. Penn State can absolutely lose to Ohio State, and if they're 11-1, at worst, they're probably a 6 seed. That's a home game against the number 11 seed. You know, and that's now you have a tremendous chance to be in the second round right there.
Yeah, that would be well, and if James Franklin wins that first game, I mean, he might start to lose his not so kind nickname.
In that kind of situation, if you're the number 6 seed and you're at home against the number 11 seed, you absolutely should win that game. Now, whether or not they win a second game, you know, some of that will deter, because if they got to play like Georgia or Texas in the second round or something, for God's sake, I don't know that you want any part of that right that quickly.
No, probably not. But you know, it'll be a good. Well, that's why they created this, to make it exciting, so we could talk about.
That's exactly right.
We're this 14th of October.
That's right. Very good. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate the call. We're going to step away from the for a break. Had Jerry there. Jerry, give me a call back. We'll get you after the break.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
At Shoofly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoofly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoofly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoofly's fit specialists, visit their website, ShoeflyStores.com. Shoofly. Your feet will thank you.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
J&P Auto Mart, that's where I should have gone. You can find them on the web at jnpautomart.com. J&P Auto Mart, that's where I'm gonna go. Call 1-800-567-6940. Stuck here at a red light, feeling like a jerk. Since I bought that sales pitch from that auto clerk, I never should have listened to what he had to say. If I'd gone to J&P Auto Mart, I'd have had a better day.
All righty, welcome back. Another one bites the dust. Fantastic. 946-0435. How big was the win for Penn State in your opinion? 946-0435. So here's the way it shakes out. Penn State is 6-0, number 3 in the country. Here's the rest of the schedule. Bye this week. At Wisconsin, that's a night game. They announced that earlier today at Camp Randall, 7:30. Camp Randall's going to be rocking for that. Now, Wisconsin is 4-2. I don't think Wisconsin is all that great. They got crushed by Alabama 42-10. They got crushed at USC 38-21. But the last couple weeks, you can say bad opponents. You know, they beat Purdue 52-6. Now, Purdue's not very good. Then they went to Rutgers, and Rutgers, tough place to win. I mean, Giano plays, they play tough football. Wisconsin won that 42-7. All right, so Penn State's got that game at Camp Randall in 2 weeks. Then the big one, obviously, Ohio State coming to Beaver Stadium on November 2nd. But if you lose to USC and you lose to Ohio State, you're 10-2. You're probably still in the playoff anyway. But you're a 10-11-12 seed. That's the significance of beating USC. If you lose, because, okay, if they beat Ohio State, obviously they have a chance to go undefeated. We don't need to play out those scenarios. That's just obvious. If they lose to Ohio State and go 11-1, some other things around the are crazy around the country, but I would think an 11-1 Penn State team, I would think at worst is a number 6 seed. Now, could they be higher? Absolutely. Depends on what happens. Some of these other teams, if they get another loss, you know, Alabama, if they lose again, somebody loses the conference, who knows? But that's the beauty of that USC win. Because if you lose to Ohio State, you got home against Washington, should be able to beat them. At Purdue, should beat them. At Minnesota, I continue right now to think that that could be a very, very difficult game. Minnesota's not great, but Penn State has stumbled against Minnesota over the years. Minnesota only beat UCLA 21-17 on the road. But Penn State's had issues over there. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. But then they close the season against Maryland at home. 11-1. Hell, 12-0 is definitely on the table if they could beat Ohio State. I think Ohio State is still really good. Going to Oregon and losing by a point, Oregon's really good. You know, so that was a tremendous game for college football Saturday night. But 11-1 is certainly on the table, and here's the difference. If you're 11-1, you're probably at worst the number 6 seed. First 4 seeds get a bye. 5 hosts 12, 6 hosts 11, 7 hosts 10, 8 hosts 9 in the first round. I think these games are somewhere around December 20th, whatever that Saturday is. It's December 21st is the Saturday. That's the first round games for the playoff. So if Penn State's 11-1, they're hosting a game in the first round, and you would have to think they're winning that game at home. Beaver Stadium, everything on the line, an 11 or 12, probably playing a 10 or 11 seed, maybe a 12 seed, and that's a team with at least 2 losses. That's a team Penn State should beat. If they lose that game at home in the playoff, that's a disastrous loss for James Franklin. So, you know, they can win that game. Then you let the chips fall where they may. If you're a 6 seed, you would play the 3 seed in the second round, okay? 1 plays 8, 2 plays 7, 3 plays 6. Can't really play it out right now because Penn State's the number 3 team in the country right now. So, you know, it would be somebody like Texas. Well, Texas is undefeated. Let's just say they go undefeated. They're number 1. Oregon and Ohio State could play again. That could change 2-3-4, whatever. Georgia could be 2-3. All right, so you could end up playing one of, in the second round, Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State in the second round. Tough game. Neutral field, bowl game. It'd be one of the New Year's 6 bowl games. But there's the path. Beating USC opens up a lot of possibilities. Jerry, what do you think, man?
Well, I had to listen to the game on the radio because I was working the whole time. And I'll be honest, I was ready to turn it off at halftime. I just hung in there, and I was glad I did, because I did think, here they go again. after the first, in the first half. I was so thankful to be able to find the game on XM because Steve Jones drives me crazy listening to him. I mean, I don't know. To me, he's on. I don't know. I don't like listening to him. Jack Ham's good, but Jones, I don't think is. I had a couple questions for you since I couldn't watch the game. The announcers kept saying that there was a lot of interference, that the refs weren't calling both ways. Did you see that?
Yeah, I think there was. Yes, I do think there was some, and I think Penn State got away with one late. What was the series? Late in the game. In regulation, and there was a lot of hands on both sides. I think there was a lot of holding probably on both sides that was probably missed. It kind of looked to me like one of those games, Jerry, that you probably could have called a penalty on every second or third play, but they just decided to swallow the flag and let him play.
I kind of prefer that. The other question I had, did Lincoln Riley have terrible clock management the last minute?
You know, he is getting ripped for it. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and say it was perfect. There were he could have taken a timeout, I want to say, give or take 30, 35 seconds or so. Okay, because USC, let me try to get the exact plays. But USC's driving. They're in Penn State territory. They have a shot. And here's at the end of regulation. So they had first and 10 at the USC 37. No, wait, that's a first and 10 at the Penn State 49 with 1:27 to go. Second and 12 at the 49 with 48 seconds to go. They get 6 yards. So it's third and 6 at the 45. He could have called a timeout. He didn't. Okay. With 30, 35 seconds or whatever, I think this is a lot of what people are talking about. So you're facing third and 6 at the 45, all right? He decided to let it go. They snapped it at 14 seconds. Now, here's why I don't think it's that big of a deal. I'm not going to be overly critical of him, because on that third and 6 from the Penn State 45, the USC quarterback stepped up in the pocket, and he avoided pressure, and he had a receiver open at give or take the 22, 24-yard line. The dude's open. He's open. A good pass. That ball's completed. USC's got a 40-yard field goal on the last play of the game, okay, to try to win the game. The quarterback blew it. So to answer your question, could he have called a timeout, settled things down? Sure. He's getting ripped by USC people for that. And maybe it would have settled his quarterback down. But the quarterback blew it. The quarterback blew it. I think we in the media and fans, we blame coaches all the time. James Franklin gets blamed all the time when maybe it's not his fault. You know what I'm saying, Jerry? The quarterback had the dude open. He airmailed it. It gets intercepted, and they lose. If he completes that pass, USC probably wins the game. That's how sports come down. So I'm not going to really overly be critical of Lincoln Riley for not calling time out there. If he catches the ball, there's 14 seconds to go. USC's at the 22-yard line, and they're going to win the game.
Yeah, just a couple other things. First of all, I'm not overly excited about Penn State yet. I mean, I'm glad, obviously, it was a big win. I mean, traveling to the West Coast, they're one of the few teams from the Big Ten that have gone out and won. But we don't know really how good USC is yet.
Correct.
Maybe they're not as good as we all thought. So I'm not overly excited about Penn State yet. I'm just glad they get to play Ohio State.
The difference is they ain't got much left on the schedule. I mean, Ohio State.
But they have Ohio State.
Right, but they can lose that, and it doesn't matter. It literally will not matter. This is where we are with the 12-team playoff. As long as they don't lose by 3 touchdowns and get humiliated, they can lose to Ohio State, still be the 6th seed, and host a first-round game. Now, do we know how good Penn State is yet? Not necessarily. These slow starts in the first half are really a problem, and I don't know that USC is all that great. But in sports, I like to measure adversity, determination. We haven't seen, Penn State did this in 2016 in the Big Ten championship game, coming back from a big deficit to beat Wisconsin. And then they came back time and time again against USC in the Rose Bowl that year. Penn State hasn't faced many big deficits over the years. To be down 14 at the half and to come back and win the way they did, even if USC is not great, that's a tremendous victory. That is such a morale-boosting victory that, I mean, you have to give everybody credit, including Drew Aller. He completes two fourth-down passes. Julian Fleming catches two fourth-down passes. I think he had been a drastic underachiever until Saturday. He comes up with two fourth-down catches on a game-tying drive. So, I mean, look, I don't know how good USC is, Jerry, but I know that everybody who follows Penn State can feel great about winning a game in that fashion.
Yeah, no, you're right. Just two other points. One, I don't think there's any really great team in Division I. I mean, there's some good teams, maybe very good, but there's nobody really dominant this year.
I think Texas could be.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
And quite
that.
Frankly, I think Georgia. I mean, Georgia got down big at Alabama, came back, probably still could have won that game. Mm-hmm. I still think Texas and Georgia are probably right there among the two best.
Yeah, they're very good, but I just don't know if we have that like that those Alabamas or Georgias,
no.
Even Clemson, when we didn't think anybody could beat them. And the other thing is, I was glad to see Drew Aller. I didn't bother me. I know he had three interceptions.
Yep.
The one I'm not going to count, but the two interceptions, I'm not sorry to see that he threw them in a way. I think if you're too cautious, kind of like what he was last year, then you can't have the big play.
I absolutely love that you said that. I am on board with what you said 1,000,000,000%. Now, no coach would ever say, oh, it's good to have an interception. You could over... No, because we dealt with this all last year when he was 25-1, 25 touchdowns, one interception. Well, whatever. They never attempted any good passes. They had the great defense. They really never attempted dangerous passes. I have no problem with those two interceptions. Again, the third one was at the end of the game on a Hail Mary. Yeah. I have no problem because he threw for 391 yards. Sometimes throwing an interception, you know what it does, Jerry? Get you pissed off. Get you more focused. Get you ready to make the next play even more. And you know what? So he had three interceptions his whole career going into the game. He had three in that game. And we're still talking about Penn State winning one of its most memorable
right.
games in the last 15 years. So how big were the interceptions, really?
Yeah, and I think we can say now that Drew Aller has won a big game for Penn State. I think we can say,
yeah.
Thanks to him, we won.
Great. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate the call. I'm so glad you mentioned the interception thing. I was thinking about that earlier today of all the things I wanted to touch on. Again, he throws two touchdowns, three interceptions. And you're like, that ain't great. Sometimes interceptions are not terrible if they lead to getting somebody up. If they lead an athlete, I think it's terrible when you don't let your athletes try to perform to their highest level of ability. And I think that's what the Penn State coaches had done to Drew. They neutered him for the last year and a half. They neutered him. It took falling behind 20-6 at the half in really and playing very poorly overall as a team, especially defensively. It took that game and those interceptions to maybe let the coaches take the training wheels off for Drew Aller.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Cup Series race recap from the Charlotte Roval Road Course, the last race in the round of 12. Here's how things look 10-1. Ryan Blaney, Bubba Wallace, Joey Logano, make note of that at number 8. Shane Van Gisbergen, AJ Allmendinger, Chase Elliott number 5. Austin Cindric, William Byron, and Christopher Bell comes up one spot short of the win at number 2. To victory lane, Kyle Larson did it again. 6th win of the season, twice as many wins as the next best. 2nd win at the Charlotte Roval, 29th career win for him. And he's now led more laps than any other driver this season. And keep in mind, he missed an entire race, the Coca-Cola 600, because, you know, he was busy with the Indy 500. Other stories on the day early in this race. Tyler Reddick slammed into his boss man, Denny Hamlin's 11 car, damaging both cars. Tyler methodically worked his way all the way back to advance to the round of 8. For Chase Briscoe, his playoff hopes were dashed when he had a flat tire during stage 2. The round of 8 drivers are Kyle Larson, William Byron, Christopher Bell, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman, Denny Hamlin, and Tyler Reddick. So, the 4 drivers eliminated? Oh my gosh, Joey Logano, Austin Cindric, Daniel Suarez, and Chase Briscoe. The round of eight begins in Las Vegas. Then it's on to Homestead, Miami, and Martinsville. Up next for the NASCAR Cup Series, I just said it, Las Vegas, Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC. You're on the final lap.
Not sure how much you know about Progressive Insurance. You may know us for insuring your home and auto. You may know a couple of our commercials. But what you may not know is that since 2013, Progressive has been honoring veterans with vehicle donations through the annual Keys to Progress Veteran Vehicle Giveaway Program, giving back to those who gave so much. Now, you probably didn't wake up today saying, I really wish I knew more about Progressive Insurance, but this seemed like the type of thing people wouldn't mind hearing about. Find out more about how we're dedicated to our customers and communities at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 1130 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Oh, we got good bumper music today. That was terrible. AC/DC. All right. 946-0435. Talking a lot of Penn State here, Dab. Yet to mention the truly incredible performance by Penn State tight end Tyler Warren. Just 17 catches, 224 yards. Today he was named the National Player of the Week by the Associated Press. 17 catches ties the single-game record in major college football history by a tight end. Dude played quarterback some, was a center on a play. Threw 1 9-yard pass, was a center on a play, or the snapper on a play where he caught a touchdown. Really an unbelievable play design there. I posted this on Twitter earlier today. I vote for the Heisman Trophy. I'm one of the voters around the country who votes for the Heisman Trophy. And Tyler Warren deserves consideration. I was just looking at some Heisman Trophy odds. Drew Aller is still on the list, like in the top 10 voting odds. He's like plus 3,000. They have very, very little. They don't list Tyler Warren at all. I'd give way more consideration to Tyler Warren for the Heisman than I would Drew Aller. Now, I'm not saying who I'm going to vote for. It's the middle of the season. We got a long, long way to go. We're not allowed to tell you who we vote for until after the prize is released or revealed. But what I'm telling you is, the Heisman Trophy is supposed to be for the best player in college football. Not the best quarterback in college football. Not the best running back in college football. Granted, that's typically what it comes down to. Who's the best quarterback on the best team? Give him the Heisman. Who's the best running back on the best team? Maybe he gets the Heisman. But Tyler Warren, for what he means to Penn State's offense, they don't beat USC without Tyler Warren doing all that stuff. Now, it is, I think, a direct correlation to the fact that Penn State's wide receiver situation is still not great. Harrison Wallace, 3 catches for 53 yards. Julian Fleming, 2 catches for 33 yards. Two of the most important catches in recent Penn State football history, both converting fourth downs on a game-tying drive in the last 3 minutes. Liam Clifford, 3 catches for 26 yards. So they had 31 catches on the day, 17 by your tight end. Just a tremendous performance. We got Bob in Altoona. What's going on, Bob? How you doing, buddy?
Good, Corey. Hey, I just tuned in about 10 minutes ago for work commitments. But, yeah, I agree with you there. You're going to have to vote for Warren, and I'm not a Penn State fan. He's definitely the best player I've seen so far in the season. But I don't know if you guys have mentioned yet or you mentioned yet the two non-calls holding in the overtime.
I have not really got – we discussed about 20 minutes ago that there was some uneven officiating throughout. I'll let you go because I've got some thoughts on these as well. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. That changed the game. You know, that was just obvious, those two calls. And the little tap on Aller's calf where he went down like he played for Manchester United. He's, you know, crawling around on the ground like he got, you know, hit in a false start. They didn't call on Penn State.
Yep.
But it was the left tackle.
So to me, there were a lot of plays. I think USC was probably holding a lot, not called. But you can say there's holding on almost every play in football. But on USC's first play in overtime, they throw it up to the left, and the Penn State DB. I'm trying to remember who it was. I got to take a look and see who it was. I think it was number 7. The Penn State DB held the guy.
And, oh, definitely.
And if instead of getting that, it's an incomplete pass. USC does a very, very, very conservative run call on the next play. And so now it's 3rd and 12. Just really highly, highly questionable second down call. But if that holding call on the Penn State DB is thrown, it was Kate. Who was the receiver? I think it was number 7. I'm trying to think of who that was. Maybe it wasn't number 7. Let's see. Anyway, they didn't call it, so that changes the whole game. And
then the slant in where he was held, they didn't call that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that definitely, yeah.
It was Zion Tracy. That's who it was. Zion Tracy, mm-hmm. Number 7 for Penn State. But you know what? Look man, USC had a chance. They overthrew the guy.
They did.
And Penn State had an opportunity, and they cashed in. I'm a big believer that you don't blame officials for wins or losses. Fans on both teams had a lot of complaining to do about the officials.
Also, one more thing. The defensive coordinator for Southern Cal, I mean, does he still have a job today?
Yeah,
not covering Warren?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Five or six times.
You would think that they would, you know, when they see what's going on, you've got to have some kind of game plan. The announcers actually talked about this a good bit during the game about you go into a game, and one of your biggest points of your game plan has to be to shut down the other team's best player. They kept mentioning it with regards to Abdul Carter and things that USC was trying to do to slow down Abdul Carter. But my God, man, you're right. What if that's the best you can do, giving up 17 catches to a guy? Yeah, Lincoln Riley's going to take all the heat out there, but. Good Lord, man. That D coordinator, there's a lot of questions there.
All right, Corey, good talk.
All right, Bob, appreciate it, man. Let me see who USC's defensive coordinator is because I don't know off the top of my head. It is, it's Dan Lynn. That's the former Penn State defensive player. So, yeah, he's going to get questioned a lot. All right, we've got Tim in Altoona. What's going on, Tim? How you doing, buddy?
Good, Corey. I just wanted to – I hope Bob is still listening because he neglected to talk about the bad call on Penn State's first series on Fleming, that so-called pass interference. If you look, the defensive back grabs him right away. That was a bad call that cost Penn State 4 points. It was a touchdown. It should have been a touchdown. We shouldn't even had to go to overtime.
I agree. You know, here's the thing. Those pick kind of calls, I will be perfectly honest with you. for as much as I watch football and have covered football and I've talked to players and coaches about those kind of pick calls, it's still very confusing. You say it's a bad call. I think it's a bad call.
I don't think it was a pick.
The announcers on TV, they thought it was the right call. 60% of me thinks it was a bad call. The other 40% of me is kind of like, that rule, the rule around that is so crazy that it seems like to me it leaves a whole universe full of interpretation.
What were they on? The third yard line?
Three or four yard line on their first series, yeah.
So, I mean, there's allowed that contact. The defense reached out and grabbed them right away. They're allowed that contact within 5 yards.
Okay. But when there's another receiver in an area and you're kind of setting a screen, hey, look, I wish I could sit here and tell you with 100% certainty that I know exactly the rule, but I've watched enough college football, and even in the NFL, that pick penalty, it's called all the time. That you see that in a bunch of games, and I don't know, the officials, they have to know what they're looking for there to some degree, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah,
I'm with absolutely. You I think it was a bad call. But I don't as the game went on, it's not like they kept going back to that call and questioning over.
But you can't, I wasn't going to call and bring this up, but if the other guy brings it up, I'm going to bring it up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's totally fair, because that's 4 points. And not only that, Penn State was doing all kinds of crazy things on that first series. The offense looked awesome. And then having to settle for a field goal, that was a huge win for USC. That was a momentum.
Right.
And then USC gets the 70-yard touchdown there. So that penalty created a huge momentum swing in the game.
Absolutely. And, that was a beautiful play to Tyler Warren where, Isler rolled to the left,
yes,
threw back.
Yep.
That they made some really nice tackles on Warren, three times.
And
some of those were pick plays. But now, what I wanted to say was, thankfully Warren caught that touchdown pass, from Bo to Aller.
Yes.
That was pass interference right there. There was no flag thrown.
Pass interference on the USC guy?
Oh, absolutely. They never called it.
I didn't see that. I thought it was both of them were in pretty good position just going for the ball.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up a replay here. And since he caught it, it was a moot point. But I would say this, how about for Julian Fleming? Because he was the one called on the penalty on the pick play. Then he dropped one ball early in the game. There was another pass that was high. Now, a lot of people on social media were criticizing Julian for a drop there. I did, and I thought Drew overthrew him. He threw a bullet, 2 feet over his head.
Yeah.
It would have been a great catch. I'm not going to give Julian Fleming a drop there, but a lot of people did. So Julian Fleming's day goes like this. Pick penalty that costs you a touchdown, drop, not coming in with a play, coming up with a ball, fourth down catch to save the game, fourth down catch to save the game. You want to talk about the whole full pendulum there.
And Aller had some mustard on those balls.
Yeah.
And he was covered pretty good. I thought, where I started to think it was going downhill after the second half was when Abdul Carter didn't intercept that pass.
Yes,
and
right
then
to him.
Right
yeah.
after that, Aller throws another interception. But the defense held, one of the best wins probably on the road since 2017, Juwan Johnson
or Iowa.
The Big Ten Championship.
Yeah, that 2016 game. That was what was great about this game. And again, I don't know how good USC is. I think USC probably loses one more game. I mean, 8-4, 7-5. But they were down 14 points. So down 7 points inside of 4 minutes, and you gotta drive. I think overcoming adversity like that, we're talking 19, 20, 21-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
To win a game like that on the road with everything going against you can be just such a gigantic bolt, boost of confidence going forward. Now, you don't really, quite frankly, for Penn State, you'd almost rather play this week. You'd almost rather play this week and keep it up because the bye week, you know, the bye week, I think, kind of comes at a little bit of a bad time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that Wisconsin game could be a trap game. You know, you have the off week. You're coming off a big win. You know, people, you know, 1-0 is the right mentality, but, you know, people thinking about Ohio State. I agree with you, you know, but, you know, it's huge for Aller's confidence, the rest of the team's confidence. And, you know, you have to, if you're going to have a great season, you need to win some of these tight games like that.
Real quick, before we let you go, because you brought up a lot of great points. Are you concerned about Wisconsin? I haven't been concerned. I was concerned before the season. Then Alabama beats them 42-10, and you're like, Wisconsin's not any good. But by the time Penn State rolls around there next week, how concerned do we need to be about Wisconsin?
I think you have to be concerned. Like I said, it could be a trap game. But, you know, you've seen the upsets this year. You know, it's going to be at 7:30 at night. Camp Randall's always rocking. You know, it seems to me, you know, like even when we were playing Illinois, I wasn't looking at that game at the beginning of the season. But when it's upon you, that's the game in front of you. You have to pay attention, and it's going to be a big game.
Wisconsin goes to Northwestern this week for a noon game. If they win that, they're rolling in with a lot of confidence there.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Tim. Good call, buddy. Appreciate it. A lot of great points there, man.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your Halloween party or trick-or-treat, great times and great snacks go hand-in-hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunning's Highway, Duncansville.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less and shipped directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Just send them a text.
Text TURN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Text TURN to 200-300 right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text TURN to 200-300. That's TURN to 200-300. TURN to 200-300.
Hank FM.
Hank
got a picture of you. Oh, man, the bumper music's been awesome today. This is great stuff. All right, want to thank our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, for their sponsorship of our little program each and every day. Head on over to J.M. Boswell's 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. They're open 9 till 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 till 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. Head on over there. They'll take care of you. They won't rush you. It's a good experience, and let them know you heard us talking about them on our little show. We got another minute or two if you want to jump in here, 946-0435. I haven't mentioned the Steelers yet. We will talk a great deal about the Steelers tomorrow. We've got our Black and Gold Breakdown show coming up tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. I'm curious to see if Kreider comes in a good mood tomorrow. Steelers look good. Steelers look good. Raiders are bad. Offense wasn't great for early on in the game, but 32-13, defense looked great. Yeah, there are still offensive problems, but 4-2 is 4-2. So, and the quarterback controversy is, or quarterback question is pushed aside for another. Are we ever going to see Russell Wilson? Or are we ever going to see Russell Wilson play quarterback for the Steelers? Might take Justin Fields getting hurt. But we'll get into a lot of good Steelers discussions coming up on the show tomorrow. A lot of great calls today. Really appreciate everybody calling in. One thing I've really enjoyed over time is the Good Monday calls that we've gotten. We've always gotten a lot of great calls throughout football season on Mondays after big Penn State games. So, and that continued, I think, with like 5 phone calls today. That was good. Got a text here from my buddy Rob in Bedford about Dylan Gabriel's Heisman odds. It's right now it's him and Ashton Jeanty from Boise State. Those are the two guys that can win the Heisman right now. Oregon with a tremendous win against Ohio State. As of right now, it's those two guys leading the pack. We'll see how things continue for both of them. Have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1 FM.